you very much. Good morning. I have a very simple message this morning. It can be summed up in one word, really. It's all about you, Jesus. That's really all there is to say. Jesus, it's all about you. But we are, as we continue through sermon series, Jesus' Prayers, we're now turning to John's Gospel, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 over the next 4 weeks. And it's all about Jesus. When you look at John's Gospel by comparison with the other Gospels, they're called the Synoptic Gospels. That is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke focus on the story and the teaching of Jesus. You get the consecutive story, and it's more or less the same in each of the three. But with John's Gospel, we have something very different. John presents the person of Jesus. He focuses on a few events, but he picks and chooses the events in order to focus on the person of Jesus. Luke describes his as an orderly account so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. He's focusing on the teaching. Matthew and Mark simply launch into the story. This is the gospel. This is the story. John, however, presents the person of Jesus in various scenarios that clarify who he is. And his purpose, clearly stated at the end of the Gospel, John 20, verse 31, says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The person of Jesus is presented. And you know, I firmly believe that in the face of so much trouble, and Carrie has just very helpfully prayed into all of that, in the face of all of that and so much more, and the news this morning that 20,000 people in Yemen suffering from cholera, it's unbelievable. In the face of all of that, all we can say is, it's more of Jesus that's needed. I don't know if you're aware, but all the I am sayings of Jesus are to be found in John, the bread of life, the light of the world, the vine, the good shepherd, the door for the sheep, the resurrection and the life, where he says, before Abraham was, I am. And of course, here in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 6, it's all about Jesus and responding to his person. And over these next few weeks, we're going to look, as I said, at John 14 to 17. And it is an extended, intimate insight into the heart of Jesus. And although we've heard just a bit at the beginning and the end of that chapter today, I encourage you to read all of it and to read on through all four chapters to see the whole thing as one continuity, because it's an extended, intimate insight into the heart of Jesus. And nothing like it exists in Mark or Matthew or Luke. Even the Sermon on the Mount isn't the same. Sermon on the Mount is teaching by Jesus, good teaching from Jesus, but it's not quite his heart in the same way as John 14 to 17, where we have a very personal discourse as Jesus shares his heart intimately with his closest disciples. So get into 14 to 17. As a young Christian, I think I've said this before, I didn't manage four chapters, I learnt three chapters, 14 to 16, a wonderful way of getting close to the heart of Jesus. Do try it, do read it often. It's all about Jesus. I expect you know that good old joke about the Sunday school class where the lesson was about creation and the things that God had made, and the teacher asked the children, what is what is grey and has a bushy tail and eats nuts? And there was silence. And the teacher encouraged him, come on, I'm sure you know, don't you? You know, what is grey and has a bushy tail and eats nuts? And eventually a hand went up and a child said, I know the answer should be Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me. Whatever the question, the answer is Jesus. And so here, three things from John 14. Jesus is the answer to doubts, fears, and questions about eternity. All the things that trouble us now and on into the future and, you know, beyond death. Answers to doubts, fears, and questions about eternity. There at the beginning of John 14, troubled hearts, Jesus says to them, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. He was talking about going to heaven. He was talking about being with his Father. He was talking about his own death and leaving them. And he said, you know the way. And Thomas voiced for all of them the questions and the problems, because he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the answer. We don't know the way. And what did Jesus do? He did not enter into a philosophical debate. He did not even try to answer the detail of the question. He simply said, it's me. I am the way. The way through to this future, the answer to your questions, the answer to the heart's trouble that you have, the answer is me. Trust me. Believe in God. Believe in me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, it's not an exclusive thing that says everybody else is wrong and it's me. It's actually an inclusive thing that says you're looking for the answer, you're looking for the way, and the answer is standing right before you. I am the answer. Trust me. That's why no one can get to the Father except through me, because I am the answer. I am the way to God and the answer to all questions. So we know that it's not about religion, but about relationship. All religions are man's attempt to reach God. And some religions have a clearer grasp of who God might be, and others have almost no idea of who he is. But human beings are made by God to know God, and we instinctively reach out to him and seek paths to him. And all religions are man's attempt to get to God. And in that attempt, they all fail. Even Christian religion fails at that point when it relies on rituals and rules rather than relationship with Jesus. Christian religion fails. All these paths up the mountain fail, because when you get to the top of the mountain, you still cannot reach the stars. And God is so far above the top of that mountain. Do all religions lead to God? Well, no, they don't. None of them do. Instead, in Jesus, God has reached down in his Son to catch hold of us and to lift us up. That's the gospel, isn't it? It's all about putting your hand in the hand of the man. All about Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. He is the answer to our doubts, our fears, and our questions of eternity. Secondly, he is the answer to loss and bereavement and how to face the future. So in this chapter, we find that he is preparing to leave them, as we've already seen. He will talk much more about that in chapter 16. He knows it will be hard. He knows what it is to suffer loss. He knows it will be painful for them. But he says to them in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And so right in the presence of loss and bereavement and fear of that loss and bereavement, it is his continuing presence and power and love which we discover comes through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. It is that very presence of Jesus in us that enables us to face and to handle loss. And his disciples, if they heard him, may have hidden something in their heart so that when the loss came, maybe they then remembered, ah, that's what he meant. He is still going to be with us. And when the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, of course, it burst out and they realized, yes, he's still here. He is with us. His power, his love, his presence is here in our hearts as he said it would be. And we can face loss. We can face bereavement. The Holy Spirit comes as a comforter so that they are not left comfortless. And the answer to loss is Jesus. I hope that will be the case for the church when there is a vacancy. I'm not saying the loss of me is like the loss of Jesus, but there will be, I guess, a sense of loss and possibly bereavement. There will certainly be a sense of leaving. We will be leaving. You will be left. But the answer is Jesus. Thank God. And of course, he brings with him his peace, which he promised in verse 27, is a peace which the world cannot give. So everything's all right. It's in his hands. He brings his peace, and it's all about him. And thirdly, Jesus is the answer to how we pray for a miracle-working breakthrough. It's more of Jesus there too. And there's a little verse hidden away in that passage. We didn't actually read it, but let me read it to you. Jesus says in verse 11, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves, the miracles." Jesus ties in his character, who he is, with the miracles that he does, the works that he does. And he says, these miracles, these answers to prayer, these things that God does, are all signs that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, that the eternal God is right here doing his works. And if you find it hard to believe, just look at the things that God is doing. He's saying, believe in me, or at least believe in the works that he does. And God is touching people day by day. There are people amongst you who will testify to the healing touch of God. And Jesus promises, you will do greater things than this. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may give glory to the Father. You may ask anything in my name, and I will do it. It seems to me that difficult as it is, challenging as it is, when we look for a miracle, when we look for healing, the answer is always going to be, have more of Jesus. And it won't be to do with a particular person who prays for you, or even a particular way that they pray for you, though anointing with oil is a pretty good way of doing it, isn't it, Jean? Her foot was healed, ankle was healed just recently because of praying that way. But it's not a particular technique, it's just more of Jesus. And Jesus is always available. We have no other strength than him, but in him all things are possible. And when he says, you may ask for anything in my name and I will do it, that is as we come to him and look for more of him, that's when more things, the greater things, will happen. So in any of these areas, when you pray, remember the answer is always simply more of Jesus. Whether it's doubts, fears, and questions about eternity, whether it's about loss and bereavement and how we handle all that, whether it's about a particular miracle that we need, the answer is always more of Jesus. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding us in this passage that it's all about you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we look to no other. We look to no ritual or rule or technique. We look to no other person, although thank you that in our times of loss and bereavement, we so often do have others who come alongside. But in the end, Lord, we know it's all about you. It's you that we need. And so today we come with all our needs, all our weaknesses, all our longings, all our desire to serve you more fully, more effectively. And we say, Jesus, Jesus, come. Jesus, come and fill us by your Spirit. Jesus, come and strengthen us. Jesus, come and feed us what we need to be more effective for you. Do the greater things that only you can do as we trust in you and as we open ourselves to you. We're going to take that longing and that prayerfulness into